10 o'clock. You are listening to 94.1 KSLG FM Hydesville, Eureka Arcata, streaming and podcasting at KSLG.com. And since it's Thursday, just about 10 o'clock, it's time for Issues with Melissa. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, John.
Melissa Culbertson. And every week what happens is that people have emailed us or I found some sort of story that involves some difficulty in the world, and we attempt to deal with it on a weekly basis at this time. And you can always reach us through issues at KSLG.com or go to, well, that's really the best way, but you can find out more through the LostCoastOutpost.com. Click on podcasts and you'll see Issues with Melissa there. Melissa, I did find this article through the Wall Street Journal, and it is dated back on the 5th. It's headlined here, "A Spy Gear Arms Race Transforms Modern Divorce." And they're talking about people who are involved in what I could safely call difficult relationships that have devolved to the point where they are spying on one another.
Ooh.
In a way that involves various technical advantages. If you put some sort of program on your machine to start spying on their activity online, you can put something on their phone to start tracking them and see what's happening there. And you can really up the game by bugging them. A little listening device in the house. Maybe you want to start bugging a teddy bear.
Nothing says let's get our relationship to work better than losing trust.
Oh, this is beyond losing trust. This is going to war.
This is war. It's warfare.
It's terrible. And so I did think of a way to sort of explore this a little further by calling a local PI, and his name is Trevor Enright, and he's actually out on surveillance right now. And he is someone who is, as far as I know, a freelance investigator, but he is currently affiliated with Cook & Associates Private Investigations and Process Services. Good morning, Trevor.
Good morning, John. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning.
And how often do you encounter situations where people locally here in Humboldt have asked for this type of assistance when they want you to go in there and start to dig up information on a loved one?
I'd say it's fairly common. I certainly have had numerous situations where, I read the article, and it's very common. And the spyware that is being talked about is being used, and often, they want my opinion about how to go about doing it and if it's something that they can do or should do, what have you.
And so what is your advice in that regard when someone comes to you and says that they have some suspicion that their husband is involved with an affair? How do you begin that process? What do you do?
Well, it's very important to assess the big picture. There are so many variables involved. But I would, I'm always wary of, a client that, or a current client that we may be working with that suggests some of this spy gear that is being referred to in the Wall Street Journal article. Because, it comes down to, John and Melissa, a reasonable expectation of privacy. And just because you're married, you're living with your spouse, does not give you the right to be, bugging cell phones, putting this type of software on computers, cell phones, any sort of, that type of instrumentation, and to do it legally. There are legal issues. There are always legal concerns, always things that I'm personally concerned about as a private investigator, working with people and using this type of these types of devices.
And the article does go into the idea of people actually going to jail over this, not for a great length of time, but of course there are legal repercussions when you start spying
Absolutely.
On someone and then tracking their activity in a way that is a violation of their privacy. So how do you mm-hmm. typically deal with that? Because all this software is so readily available. And that's the other part of the article, that if you just want to go online now and get this going, it's not that hard. But the hard part comes when you're in court. But what do you do when you are, again, asked to dig up dirt on a loved one? Have you been involved with, let's say, putting a GPS device on someone's car? Is that legal? It doesn't sound legal.
Well, it is legal if you are the registered owner of the car. So if you are on, in often situations, the spouses are on, they're both on the vehicle. So, but you have to both be on the vehicle. If you are not on that vehicle and you are married but still not on that vehicle, you do not have legally the right to put a GPS. And this comes up. I've had situations where husbands, wives have been slapping these GPS devices on each other's vehicle, and sometimes it's legal. Again, it comes down to registered owner of the car. So in that sense, it would be legal. If you're not, then it's illegal. It doesn't matter if you're married or not. And the same thing goes. I mean, you have to look at the whole situation. You really have to assess. There are so many different variables and so many different gray areas. I mean, honestly, we weigh these situations so carefully. And the great thing I think about coming to a professional, and obviously I'm biased, but is we work with attorneys and we work closely with colleagues that, you know, all situations, all investigations are slightly different. But I have so many people that I'm relying on and talking to when we have these difficult kind of gray areas.
And have you been involved in a situation where both parties are spying on one another, or is that extraordinary? Because I guess if you have this kind of mistrust in a relationship, then suddenly you could find sort of like a War of the Roses or whatever that was called.
It's like a movie plot.
Right. Those situations, definitely. I'm not always aware, but I have been, you know, suspicious, or I've thought that's definitely been going on, where there's definitely two sides. It's a back and forth. It's a War of the Roses type situation. But it's a really interesting, you know, thank you for having me. It's an extremely interesting topic. I love your show. I thought I'd never be on your show kind of giving input. But, you know, there were so many, you know, there's so many situations, a lot of case laws out there citing different types of situations. But, you know, you just can't go slapping. I mean, I would just warn them. You just can't go slapping different devices. And that's the problem. They're so readily available and they're very affordable. It's really easy to go get the Spy Cobra and, you know, download it onto your, you know, husband or wife's computer, but it's not necessarily legal. I mean, it comes down to, it's all fact-driven, and it comes down to if it's a computer, where it is in the house, if it's a common computer, if it's a family computer. And then I've had situations where the client wants to do it, and it's a work computer. No. Is it password protected? No. You know, there are all these different restrictions. You know, you talked about recording audio. In California, it's a no-no. You have to have both parties' consent to record, unless it's something that's deemed criminal.
And have you seen a relationship survive this type of activity? Because earlier when I was introducing this, I mentioned that for me this would be such an escalation that at this point the relationship is over and I'm going to war. And so I can't even conceive of this happening with someone that I've loved over the years. I mean, this to me is very strange, that suddenly I find myself spying on someone who's living in my house in this way. But have you seen a relationship bounce back from this, or is this always just a signal that this is complete chaos and Armageddon?
Well, I think it's usually a situation where it's kind of come to that point where it's kind of past the beyond of or beyond that point where it's. I mean, but I have been in situations where they were able to come to an agreement or you know, go into counseling or what have you. But it's more about, you know, the trust issue is huge, and you know, I can agree with you. I mean, I certainly can relate to that. But it's more about it's more about peace of mind. It's more about knowing, because in the state of California too, it's a no fault state. So when you're talking about, you know, divorce, you know, that it's more about not finding the facts and then going to court. It's more about, you know, that peace of mind, you know. I have to know. I mean, I'm going crazy here. Help me out. You know, they're saying there's nothing going on, but I know in my heart of hearts there's something going on. So it's more about peace of mind, too.
Conceivably, I guess for me, it would raise the anxiety level in my household if I had to sort of hide the fact that I was trying to spy on this person. But that's just my sort of way of viewing the world.
So ever feel the effects of this from you know, spying on people? Do you ever feel guilty, or do you feel that, you know, that you're helping people out? Like, like when you see something, are you just like, oh, I kind of wish I didn't see that? Or, I mean, how does it affect you?
Oh, you know, yeah, it does. I mean, I'm here to be an observer. you know, sort of a passive observer. I just observe. I report what I see. I report the facts. It's not always easy. I'm gonna be honest. In some situations, there are certain things that I wish, you know, perhaps I didn't see. But it's the nature of the beast. And you know, I'm happy that I can be of service to somebody that really, really needs to know. And it's not always pleasant. And I tell one of the first things when I start working with a client, it's something like this, is, you know, what are you prepared to do? It's so important. It's so important that you're really considering all the ramifications. You know, there's a lot of, especially in these domestic situations, there's a lot at stake. You know, you're talking about entire families, children, and jobs, and it's really that I advise people not to be flip about and just go online to purchase software. It's something that should be, you know, examined carefully before you go ahead with this type of activity. The most important is probably legally, because you might end up in jail. You know, it's not real clean, clear cut either, and that's a problem that I face daily with the gray areas. But it comes down to a reasonable expectation of privacy. I have to be very careful with that, and other laws such as trespassing, and I do adhere to all those laws, and the client needs to understand that as well, because I get some pretty extreme demands about what they'd like to happen, and it's just not. It's not legal. It's not going to happen.
So if someone has reached this point in their relationship that they need a practitioner of the dark arts, such as yourself, how would they get a hold of you, Trevor?
They can contact. You can go on the website, Cook & Associates. Found on the Internet. We're in the phone book, Cook & Associates Private Investigations. Our telephone number is 707-839-7422. Chris and Bill Cook are the owners of Cook & Associates. They have over 75 years combined experience in the business. They are professionals. We're all licensed private investigators and registered process servers. And I would advise people to think closely before they just jump on the bandwagon and use this software. They should know what they're doing, and I would say consult a professional, quite honestly.
Sure, and that appears to be the case here, so I'm not implying that you are a practitioner of the dark arts necessarily. You are providing a service. This is a valuable service that people need to proceed with their lives in a certain way. And speaking of which, so you have actually been a process server in the past, and just some friends over the years have asked me to do that, and I've had to serve a couple of people. So I put on my game face, which mainly looks a little steely, but I don't know what I'm doing. So I've walked into a situation where it was just in an office, and the moment I sort of dropped the bomb, they gave me the look of death. And another one recently was a little heavier. With there was a divorce situation, and that was a little strange. But if you just give me a moment of advice, how do you walk up to somebody and take care of that? Now I've got a professional on the phone, and please just tell me how I should serve somebody in the event that I have to do this again.
I'd say contact a professional.
Okay.
Good
answer.
I don't want to give away all
my good answer.
Secrets, but no, quite honestly, I get asked this all the time, and there are different variables that constitute a good service. And it's just not as easy as going up and handing somebody the papers. I mean, certainly it can be, but you're in really interesting situations. And, I mean, it's not uncommon for people to be running in the other direction from me.
Oh,
and not coming out of their house and all sorts of things. And you really want a professional. Even, you know, I'd say, you know, spend the extra money. And because if you just have somebody else do it, I mean, there are so many laws to consider, you know, especially we're just talking about them, privacy laws and trespassing, you know. And if you're just Joe Schmo going to deliver a paper and you're not a registered process server, you better make sure you're not trespassing.
Interesting.
Registered process servers, we can legally go on, you know, property. But again, there are certain variables that are there in place.
Okay.
So it's tricky. It's tricky.
All right. Well, and luckily I wasn't punched in the face, or luckily I wasn't chased. But you're right.
Luckily you weren't.
Yeah.
I wish I could say the same.
Well, thank you, Trevor, for your time this morning. And I'd like to talk to you in the future if I can.
Yes.
Okay.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having
us
on your show. Thank you, Melissa. I appreciate it. And Cook & Associates Private Investigations, we're out there for you. Please, we'd love to work for you. So.
Got it. All right, Trevor. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye, Trevor.
That is Trevor Enright.
Bye-bye.
He is a private investigator currently, as you just heard, with Cook & Associates. And, Melissa, since we are talking about spying on loved ones, there is someone that I know who is deeply involved in this. Well, not deeply involved, but she is someone. Yes, it is the mystery guest.
Hello, mystery guest.
The mystery guest who will pick up that microphone over there on the couch. That is what you want to pick up. Follow that orange cord, mystery guest, because due to your activities or whatever it is, you've decided that you'd rather not reveal your identity.
I'm going to regret this, aren't I?
No, you're not.
No, it's great having a guest in the studio. Right. We would keep your anonymity.
You are my friend, and you are aware of this fact, mystery guest. Would you put the mic a little closer to your face? There we go. So you are not someone who's actively spying on a loved one in a way that they are unfamiliar with this. You have set up a situation. It is a preemptive strike, as I like to think of it. So you have installed some software on a machine at home just to say, hey, listen, whatever's going on, I'll know about it.
Correct.
Okay.
Now, this started years ago, so this isn't anything new.
Okay.
Okay.
And how is that, how does the family react to that?
Well, first of all, the computers were crashing at home and stuff, and, you know, there was a lot going on. And so I just put the kibosh on it.
You did?
Yes.
But so, again, it was...
But everybody knows that it's on there.
Okay.
And that's the important part. Right. Everybody has to know, and it just keeps the honest people honest. If you don't want to get on my computer, don't.
Okay.
That's a good way to look at it.
I don't necessarily disagree with this.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, okay. He does.
For me, living with you would be a Machiavellian nightmare.
Yeah, well, living with you
would be a treat.
No.
Ask people who've done it. They say he's a lovely man.
You're a mess, John.
I am not a mess. Thanks a lot. Well, I've got some problems I'm working through.
You keep him in line, though.
But the whole idea that you would then say, okay, I will track your every move on this machine, I think that sort of demonstrates a violation of trust.
I look at it every day and track it every day. But I can tell you that I've had a computer now for 4 years. It hasn't crashed. I haven't had to call anybody in to fix it. It's not slow. I love it, you know?
Okay.
So it's more of like protection advice, protection for your computer, for your happiness.
That's how it started, is somebody came in, a technician, and they worked on my machine, and they said, look at all this stuff you got on here. People have been downloading stuff, and I went, oh, gosh. And it was like a month old. So, you know,
right. It
saves me money. It saves everybody else, and, you know. And their sins are theirs.
Right. Their sins are theirs. I like that.
You're pure of heart.
Yes.
Yes, I can see the halo.
I like to keep honest people honest.
So do you have any other devices in your house besides
the
computer?
Not.
You don't
That's
have, like, cameras?
Absurd. No. Oh, you know what? I had one once with the security system, and that was just a little weird. We had that removed.
What, the cameras? Or?
Remember I was talking to you about that?
About?
That Vivint company came, and they put cameras up.
Sure.
It's just a security system. But that's weird. They even put one in the house. We got rid of it.
Well, I think in particular with that particular situation, I didn't like it because it seemed as though the video feed was running through some external server. To me, that would be unacceptable.
Right, that's a little scary.
Which, again, is not something that I need to know more about their precautions. But for me, if you want cameras, I can get you going there. I mean, I could set you up.
You want cameras?
I think we're going to pass on that.
That's the thing. I have thought about these things, and I know how to achieve them, but I would never want to execute them in the world because, to me, doing that would suggest that there is this violation of trust.
But then with your experience, John, you don't really need cameras, do you?
Meaning what?
You can look on anybody's computer and find out what they've been doing.
I don't do that.
But you could.
See, but that's the part that's important to the story that I'm not doing.
Right.
And that is because I would be upset if someone did that to me, not that I have anything to hide.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Want to come on over to my house and
and hang out on your computer?
it would be such, again, a violation of trust, and it would raise the anxiety level of, because then once you get down that hole, you have to constantly be vigilant. Okay, well, today there was nothing, but perhaps it'll be next week.
No, but if you're honest about it and tell everybody that it's on there, that's not a violation of trust in any way. As long as you tell people.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And have you ever found anything when you were going back and looking at the key logs? Or, because, again, this is key logging software and screenshots. And
a couple of times.
You did.
Nothing.
And what happened?
Financial.
And what happened to that person?
Nothing. What do I care?
Well, you care a lot. You've got the software on there.
I mean, did you, like, put it in, like, your box of memories in your head? Or have you kind of just like, whatever?
Yeah, it's whatever.
It's whatever.
Everybody, you know, teach their own.
And as I explained...
And I just reminded them, you know, there's a little spyware on here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? They're like,
want to dial back your surfing?
Well, obviously they don't care. So.
Right. I mean, if they don't care, then they're just putting it out there.
And I did explain to you, and if anyone has any questions about this, I'm not a private investigator, and I do not know much about the law. I can accomplish certain things, and I'm not actually offering up my services. I think people should call Trevor, the new PI for the John Matthews Show. But I'm just saying that one thing to do would be to stop it at the right outside the house. So there's this way of preventing people from surfing these darker aspects of the internet that you don't like so much before it gets into the house. And it's not even an option. There's no temptation. Or let's say you have a younger person in the house. You don't have to sit back and look at all the logs, but you could set it up through this DNS situation where you don't have to worry about the traffic coming in the first place.
That's true.
Okay.
I don't have to worry about it now.
Just an option. All right. So if you want to go check out... House. Don't surf porn over there. Oh, sorry. I meant her name is. Come on. Don't hit me. I'm sorry. No.
I had promised anonymity.
Well, it is. Is she still a mystery guest? What? What is illegal?
You just told me you wouldn't do that. And
yeah.
You came on there and did it.
All these people heard your promise get broken.
Yes. No. Her name is.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Come on.
Bye.
All right, so she's now upset with me, more so than normal. But this is...
You really dug a grave there.
Oh, yeah, I'm in big trouble with her.
You're in trouble.
Well, she'll... I forgot, but
well,
it's fine.
Well, let's talk about, though, just the basics of this. I mean, this is just out of control. People who are doing this, they're so obsessed. Is like, I was doing some of the research reading it, and it's just like, it just becomes an obsession more than even like really wanting to know. Like that guy said, like Trevor said, he asked people, hey, you know, these are the real implications of this. And I think people are just like in a daze, and I don't even think they realize the realities because they're just so worked up from what they keep feeding their own mind in towards this negativity. I think it's awful.
This is a completely toxic situation that, as I said earlier, the idea that I would have to constantly monitor somebody would just create this level of, anxiety, and I would say it's time to leave. I don't know any situation where this would seem normal to me that I'd want to create a dossier on my loved one and then say, like, oh, look, you cheated on me. Well, guess what? I already knew that.
Right.
So we're reaching that point, don't worry. I'm not going
through
the phone.
There's other signs to tell you that they're cheating or not interested anymore. I mean, just basic human nature. And you know, you can feel the walls up when things like that happen.
Strongly discourage this because you may wind up in court. And if you want to see this article, it's through the Wall Street Journal. It appears they have this paywall going, but I was able to bypass it. That's because I had a free option. But at any rate, it's called The Spy Gear Arms Race Transforms Modern Divorce. And you can see it. It is tagged back on October 5th. Do we have time for an issue, Melissa?
We do. Which issue would you like? Issue one or issue two?
Let's go with number two.
Okay. Dear Issues, I realize I'm older, 46, than most of your listeners, which I don't think is true. I think our listeners are very diverse in age.
Sure, there's this fantasy that people listen to Case Log are 16 years old.
Yeah,
this is not true.
It's not true.
They're out there, but the audience also skews old.
It's a whole array. So I hope this isn't too out of your realm of discussion. Nothing is. Just listeners, so you know that. But I love your station. I think you guys are really great. Yay. I love that. Okay, so here's my problem. My husband, who is 52, is just as horny as he was when we first got together in our 20s. Even more. Meanwhile, my sex drive has dropped off significantly. I try to manifest enthusiasm, but really, I'd just be as happy reading a book. My doctor says it's normal and I shouldn't feel guilty, but my husband keeps trying to make me more, quote-unquote, in the mood. Recently, he's been talking about incorporating some kinkier stuff into our sex life, and I can barely get worked up for normal sex, much less get excited about indulging in some sort of latent bondage fetish. Bondage fetish. Other than sex, we get along well. This is threatening to our tranquility. However, I'm tempted to encourage him to go experiment through a sex club or something, whatever would satisfy his curiosity and maybe take some of the pressure off me. That seems to have some drawbacks, too, of course. My friends say that's just how men are. The idea of going into therapy sounds even more depressing, but if we have to, I guess we have to. But maybe you have some advice? Thanks. Almost 50, but nowhere close to 50 Shades of Grey.
I would discourage the idea of just quickly saying, okay, go out and start having sex with other people. I don't view that as an option.
That sounds bad.
And rather than going to my default, go to therapy. But it would work.
I don't think therapy good. I think this is just like that's like almost menopause, perimenopause, you know, hormones drop. I think that there might be some kind of supplement or herbal thing or acupuncture that could help get the hormones start going again.
Supplements.
Yeah. You know, like, there's all different kind, like, you know, maybe the estrogen's too high, they need progesterone, you know, there's, like, yam creams and things like
that. Yam creams. If you're going to take some sort of supplement, I would say go to a doctor rather than a wizard.
Well, I mean...
A yam cream.
Dude, yam creams work. Look it up.
All right, I will, but...
Don't talk about things you don't know. But I'm just saying that, you know, it seems...
Okay, I'll go rub some yams on my arms.
Wait. It helps women who are in menopause, okay?
Okay, all right, fine. I will. I promise I'll look it up. I promise.
Okay, look that up. But I think, you know, maybe there's some kind of thing like that, acupuncture to get that chi moving again or something, because it seems like maybe there's just something that's kind of more asleep in her body, you know, and her husband is still raging at 52, which is awesome. And it doesn't say anything about Viagra or anything.
No,
like
and
that.
There, even if, let's say, you don't want to go to therapy, there are several books out there that deal with remaining passionate as the marriage evolves and the relationships change, as they often do, just the way that you sort of go on the journey of life. But you should certainly take a look at a couple of books. There was one that someone recommended to me not that long ago. I think it was called Passionate Marriage, or I'll have to look at that. So don't say that's the title, or don't believe that's the title. But you can certainly do some research to figure out how to keep your sex life exciting and. I would avoid the idea of just suddenly viewing it as a task that one has to accomplish. Okay, we'll do it twice a week.
Oh, I guess we have to have sex now.
Great, it's Thursday. Let's go have some sex. That just sounds like misery to me.
It sounds like an unhealthy pattern. But it seems like this woman is trying. She went to the doctor, talked to the doctor. She's been thinking of, it seems like this woman's really been putting a lot, which is great for the relationship. She's aware and trying to work on a problem, which I think is a plus, and most people don't even go there. So I think that's great. That's a good step.
It's a great first
excellent first step. But this one's hard, yeah.
And you'll have to figure it out together.
Yeah.
That is the plan.
Keep talking about it.
Thank you very much, Melissa, for coming down today. And I would like the mystery guest to know that I love her very much. And when I see her later, I don't want her to be very upset with me, mystery guest. And also, mystery guest, I will be editing out your name in the podcast, so this will remain a mystery for those who are catching this online through the LostCoastOutpost.com. And Melissa, I will talk to you next week at 10 o'clock on Thursday.
See you next week.
Okay. And right after a quick break, we will go with Florence and the Machine on Netflix Case Log.